James chapter 1. James chapter 1. As we look at trials and tests that we all endure. And we looked last week at your doctrine and the difficulty of trials, talking about doctrine. And we called verse 12 the proving that takes place when you have a test. Today we're going to get into verses 13 and following, probably just verse 13. But I need to point something out that if we don't point this out may give you difficulty in understanding what James is saying in this chapter. Please note the word temptations in verse 2. Note the word temptation in verse 12. Those are both nouns. Now, I know sometimes people kind of, you know, go, oh boy, here we go. You need to this is going to help you understand this passage. Those are nouns, and both of those nouns, temptations, you're thinking, oh, well, when you think of temptation, you think of something that tempts you to do evil. That's not the sense of those two words, because those two words, temptations, are tied. Look at verse 3, knowing this, that the trying, that has to do with the approving. So a test has to do with approval. Much as you go to college, go to high school, grade school, whatever, and you are given a test, and that is to prove what you know. Again, in verse 12, the word temptation is tied to tried. So please note that. In fact, in my Bible, I have temptations highlighted and then trying connected to that in verse 3. And in verse 12, I have temptation underlined or highlighted and the word tried tied to that. So you've got temptation. Really, we should understand it as trial or test. Now you get to verse 13. Now you've got verbs. Let no man say when he is tempted. That's a verb. I am tempted. That's a verb. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth, a verb, he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted. Now you're dealing with verbs, and these verbs are all tied to, look at verse 13, that God cannot be tempted with what? Okay. But man is tempted with evil. And so now we're looking at not trials. Now James is turning to temptations to do evil. So please understand that about verses 1 through 12. That has to do with trials and tests. Now we're looking at temptations to do evil. So James now turns to the thought of temptation, the inner solicitation to do evil. Do you know what solicitation is? You ever gone to a house that says, no soliciting? In other words, do not try to sell me anything. Okay? Okay, solicitations. I was quoting from Hebert there just a moment ago. Let me read it again. James now turns to the thought of temptation, the inner solicitation, trying to sell you evil, to try to get you involved in evil. He goes on to say, because of a wrong inner reaction, the testings, verses 1 through 12, which God meant for our good, may become an occasion for sin. Now, that's what he talks about in verse 13. So a test can itself turn into a temptation. Think about it. A temptation is the easy way out of, a temptation to do evil is an easy way to get out of a test. Okay, you're taking that exam. What are you tempted to do? Look on somebody else's. Now the test has easily become a temptation. And that's what we face a lot. The times when you most easily fall into the solicitations to do evil is when you're going through something difficult. Correct? That's when we have to make sure that, you know, you may be feeling very well and feeling very well. You think, well, I can do that. I can get by with that. No, that's when you've got to really watch out. You've got to be careful. A time of hardship is the time when you're going to want to find the easy way out. The time, it's an opportunity to escape the difficulty. And so it now becomes a temptation. Think about it. When Israel was in the wilderness, they often turned tests into temptations. There's no water here. You would say, and we would say, as you look back on that, okay, do the right thing, do the right thing. But no. Then they began to give in to the temptation to murmur. And that test turned into murmuring. So let's understand that. That's the thing that we face are the tests that God may allow us to endure to prove us to be tried and true that we turn into temptations to do evil. And so we're switching from the proving to the provoking. And that's what I want us to look at today in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted to do God. So I'm going to read verse 13 in a different way. You watch along very closely. I'm not going to leave anything out. I'm going to add something that hopefully will clarify it. Let no man say when he is tempted to do evil, I am tempted to do evil of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth to do evil he any man. But every man is tempted to do evil when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Does that make sense? Does that clarify it? You may think unfairly about God when you endure a hard trial and you blame God for your failure. Since God sends a trial to prove you, verses 1 through 12, the next step might be for you to attribute to God my own sinful inclination in the trial. But I can't blame God any more than a cheating student can blame the teacher when given a hard test. Well, I didn't know the answers, teacher, so you made that test too hard, so I had to cheat. He goes on to say, for God cannot be tempted with evil. God is incapable of being solicited to do evil. He is untemptable. He is absolutely holy and impeccable. The heathen, good friend of mine, former dean of the School of Religion at BJ, man that Juanita worked under by the name of Dr. Wisdom. I like that name. Dr. Wisdom wrote in Biblical Viewpoint on this, the heathen viewed their gods as subject to temptation and consequently as sources of temptation. You see, if God could be tempted, then he could be a source of tempting us to do evil. But he cannot be tempted with evil. Neither, now it says this, tempteth he any man to do evil. Think about it. If God is the one who solicits me to do evil and then I give in, who can I blame? I can refuse the blame. Our perverse human nature always wants to blame someone else. Eve partook of the fruit and blamed the serpent. Adam partook of the fruit and blamed Eve. Some blame God directly, some do so indirectly. They hide behind supposed heredity. Well, I'm a homosexual because it's a genetic flaw, which is really blaming God. Or people blame the environment. Criminals often blame the environment. the environment may have some impact. But ultimately, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Man, that man is responsible. But what about Genesis 22:1? God did tempt Abraham. It's the word prove. He proved him. He was not soliciting him to do evil. Well, what about people say 6:13, and lead us not into temptation. Or Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. James is not denying that God does indeed subject men to testing, but he does deny the claim that God tests men with an evil intent to lead them into sin. Lenski, in his commentary, said this: when God sent Jesus to be tempted by Satan, and when he now lets Satan tempt us, we should not blame God, but should remember that God's own Spirit helped Jesus to crush Satan, and that he now helps us to vanquish him. You might all be able to quote with me 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So our perception may be, and that's why James has to address this here, our perception may be is, man, God's tempting me to do evil. Well, how can I ever put up with God Almighty tempted? That's going to be too strong. No, God never tempts you to do evil. You've got the wrong perception if you think he's going to tempt you to do evil. We know Satan tempts you to do evil, but not God. And so next time we're going to see how that James goes from our wrong perception, verse 13, to who is the real perpetrator. In verses 14 and 15, and let's just read those in closing. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. It's pretty, how often do you see that kind of emphasized? Watch out. Do not blame God when you give in to temptation to do evil. Father, we thank you for the fact that you know our inclinations, but you call us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find help in the time of need. And Lord, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit so that we might always be right with you. But when we do sin, as John himself says in 1 John 2:1, we know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who saved us from our sin and gives us the power to live free from sin. But when we give in, Lord, may we realize it's our own lusts. So may this truth from your word impact our lives for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.